is, you must give him, they must have a fit, sufficient is cut, you make it over the holy land. What is the position? If the bigger loaf, a bit is cut off already, and the smaller loaf is whole,
smaller,
make it smaller. But it's smaller than the, but it's whole. So the Bishwatsanata said, that is the same as the person. Rather, he could be a smaller person, but he's whole. He's whole. Might be a person who knows more than he did. I'll never forget the Ponavi Jerome when he spoke to me once, what he felt when the news came through that the whole of Eastern Europe was destroyed. Everything that he built up, his wife was killed, his son was killed, his daughter was killed, his son-in-law was killed, his grandchild was killed, and he remains alone. All his friends killed, his colleagues killed. He said, I asked myself the question, why should I have been saved? For my Torah, there were people who were greater in Torah than I, and they weren't saved. For my saintliness, greater in saintliness than I, they weren't saved. So there must be something that I have got that they didn't have. And I'm not being saved for that reason. You see, there's only one thing, and that is I have the ability more than any of my colleagues. That is to organize for Torah. Which is true. You see, that means that I was saved for that purpose. So for the rest of my life I must dedicate myself to that purpose, and that is what he did. And he really laid down the pattern for learning in Eretz Yisrael. Before he came, there wasn't a pattern. But the way the yeshivas are to be built and the way that they are to be conducted, all that, he laid the pattern for it. There was something else that he had, but he didn't tell me, and I don't believe that he believed it himself. He was home. There might have been greater longing than him. There might have been greater abonning than him. There might have been greater tzaddikim than him. He was there. Wherever you touched him, he was there. His character. Everything. That was the greatness of my uncle Hosni Shlemus. He was heaven. And when he was 18 years of age, the Psinchrosisal said about him, this is a Ishole, this is a complete person. He was 18 years of age, he said about him. He's a complete person. And when he was 18 years of age, he was already married, and he started the yeshiva when he was 18 years of age. But that is what we call Shleimus, you see. It's a big thing about it. Wherever you touch, they were greater not than he was. But he is great, he was a father. But he still belonged to the generation where the Rosh Yeshiva gave the Shiuri, and he was the Rosh Yeshiva for Musa also. Now that doesn't exist anymore. But he was still one of the last ones. What are feelings now? Conduct, these things. Those are the things that he accepted himself in. But that he was able to he was an Ishmael, and that is the Shlemus. And he always used to stress that. The important thing is the Shlemus. And you see, in Torah there is so much. He was a wonderful preacher. He was a wonderful speaker. Spoke extremely well. Whatever he did, just something. He had this flameless about him. Sorry, I didn't hear that.
The story that you shared with us,
yes.
You mentioned that it found its way into print.
Yes.
I was curious as to whether it found its way into print in descriptions of the Gera Rebbe or descriptions of your uncle.
In descriptions of my uncle. But the whole story is there with the Gera Rebbe.
No, it comes through the Gera Rebbe.
Yes. But the whole story is there, and it's in this work of his that was published posthumously in Nobel Law. It's in the introduction, and the introduction is done by a man called Schwadron. And Schwadron listened to my uncle, and he learned a lot from my uncle, and he's very good. There's only one person who can do it better than Schwadron, and that person wasn't prepared to do it, and that is my cousin, my uncle's son, who lives in Israel now. He could do it better than Schwadron, but that's the only person. But Schwadron is a first-class person to have done that work. Very, very true. But everything it's been, and this story, he put down that story. We weren't happy that that story should have gone into print.
No.
We didn't want it to go into
print. I had heard concerning that book.
Yes.
I'm not sure whether I heard this or learned this from you or your son, that some of the material that found its way to those discoveries, there was a feeling that it was not reliable.
That is in the second volume. In the second volume, I don't know whether it's reliable or not, but it started out what he did. We didn't want this.
I see.
I mean, this is that is not a Torah way. We don't in Torah. You don't speak about the miracle. Look at the Vilna Gaon. You ever hear about the miracles of the Vilna Gaon? What miracles?
It's funny, I just, over Pesach,
yes.
There was a story that I heard from someone who, an older gentleman who claimed very, very about the Vilna Gaon and where he, I don't know if this where there had been an attempt to disturb his grave. You've
heard this
story
a couple of years ago.
And no, but apparently there are signed eyewitness. That's correct.
That what?
Two things. That apparently in Vilna, the communists, after they came in, decided to make a park, and one of the places they conveniently decided to make a park was where the Gaon was interred. And that they had gotten to work with bulldozers and etc., and that both individuals who had been working the bulldozers the first days when they were building the park had died. And that subsequent to that, they then decided to move him properly, and that in so doing, that they had found that there, as David said, there was no the normal physical deterioration as one would expect.
I didn't know about that. It's possible, not. I don't know. But anyway, these are things. It's much more important to know what the Vilna Gaon said. And how he lived, and how he behaved, and how he behaved towards his family, and towards his wife, and towards his children. And there's a beautiful letter that he wrote towards him to his wife and children, and he spoke how they must behave themselves and how much they must conduct themselves. And he says to them, sometimes it's better not to go to shul and to stay at home and to daven at home. You do much better that way, and you've got to make up your minds about that. These are the things that he spoke about there. And those are the things when we speak about our gedoling, those are the things we speak about.
You said Medeliyahu is correct, but not that it should have been printed, you know.
That is. But then in the first volume, everything that is written in the first volume is correct. There might be in one of the dates there's something, there's a mistake about one of the dates there. That can be the date is not correct, that's not important. But the facts are correct there. The only thing, it's in there's a later volume that they started printing the writing things, and had no business to write those things. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not true, but we don't do that sort of thing. There's not the things we speak about. Yes, but I don't know how it worked. You see, I don't know how the second volume worked. But the first volume, I discussed the first volume. And with the second volume, I don't know what happened with the second. And there's a third volume, I don't know what happened with that volume. But the first volume is all right.
And the English edition is very different.
The English edition, but this story should be in the English edition too.
It's in a, if I remember correctly, it's in a very, it's not with the complete knowledge of David. If anything, it's in a way that the first story was written.
No, that was wrong.
I'll check up on that, but I don't remember it with a detail.
But in the later beyond, that story is there, and it's absolutely correct. But I remember the Dom Mishkovsky gave it to me, and then he said to my uncle, he said, is there a hemshech? Is there a sequence to the story? He said, my uncle hesitated again. He said, yes. He said, what is the sequence? And he told me the story about the year. But he never volunteered it. He would never volunteer to do like that.
If the miracles aren't the thing that we have to concern ourselves with, but it's the readout,
yes.
And he had to know that your uncle would have been embarrassed. Why did he ask him? Why did he need to know? The man who asked you,
very good reason, because the story was going about. And he wanted to know what the correct story was. And he knew how my uncle would have felt about it. He wanted to know. But the story came from a person that named Friedman, and he got the story. And he gave it, but the whole story is that it went to Mishkovsky, got the correct story, exactly what it was. Exactly what it was.
Similar to what I did.
Sorry,
I was just asking David. Yeah, yes. Even more.
What did you have more stories?
With Rabbi Gaon, I heard that the people who took him out,
yes.
that they'd been given permission by the Jewish authorities to take his body out and move it,
yes.
But they were warned not to look at the body. And they did look at the body, and from what I understand, there are some written testimonies that said no deterioration took place, and it sounds very romantic, but that all of them died very shortly thereafter.
Yeah, I don't know about those things. I know what I do know is that the Vilna Gaon, it's the last thing that he wanted that these things should be said about. That I'm quite sure of. A thing that I can never understand, and it's very distressing, I don't know whether you've ever been there. If you go north of Haifa, northeast a bit of Haifa, there is a place, I've forgotten what the name of the place, a beautiful little village, a little village, pretty nice little homes, they're beautiful little homes in that village. And behind there, there is a burial ground of the Tannoi. And they are, you don't call them coffins here, what do you call them where people are buried?
Crypts.
Repulsives?
Gravestones.
The old crypts, well, yes, but they are made out of stone.
And is it above ground or below ground?
These are, you go into a cave.
Catacombs.
Catacombs.
Crypts.
Yes, crypts, yes. But have you never been there? Have you never seen it? I forget what
happened. I did go.
Not in Sanhedria.
No.
Not in Sanhedria. Yeah, it's
another one.
Beit Shoan. Yes, what is it? Beit Shoan. It's Beit Shoan. What is the name of that little village that you get over the bus thing, you go through the little village, it's on the other side? Tannoi were buried there. I don't know what happened there. I don't know what happened to the remains. It seems that Arab marauders came there, you know, they must have had the time of their lives there. I don't know what they did there. But this goes back 1800 years, 1900 years. 1800 years. 1800 years it goes back. I don't know what happened there. You know, I just want to tell you about the Vina Gore. That when he did Vidui, when he said Vidui, he confessed Khotosi Obisi Pushati on the minutes that he neglected in the study of the Torah. That was his Vidui. That was his confession. Can you imagine?
He knew which minutes they were.
Hmm?
He knew which minute.
Of course he knew which minutes. For the minutes that were needed to prepare for the minutes that he was terrible. David told me that he met a person in New York who doesn't believe in the Yerid Data Delvers. Is that, doesn't believe in the Yerid Delvers, you see?
Just one.
I thought the only person in the world who doesn't believe in Yerida Sadevas, you know, I thank the Baby Show every single day of my life. I am in a very privileged position. I live through that. So I know what it was about. And you've got great names, you've got out the day that came with it. And they are great. Bisan Basin Shatra Basin Shatra is a great man. A great man today. It made you find sin. Yaakov Kamenetsky, great men today. You've seen the previous generation. And they know what the previous generation was. And I still, now my uncle used to speak to me about Rebbe Soil. And I remember I asked him, I said, did he ever see Rebbe Soil? He said, yes. He said, when he was
as atheist as Sir Arsene, what impression did it leave of these two things? His dress, the way he was dressed, and the way he walked, sat, as the way he conducted himself.
He
saw a Salanta. The man who was 8 years old, we saw him, he saw a Salanta. There is something, I don't know quite how it works, that it seems because this was at my uncle's bar mitzvah. But that, I don't know how that works. Supposed to be that is the mitzvah, I don't know how that works. So that is just something that I heard. But my uncle said what impressed him was his dress, very simple, very clean, everything just right, and the way he walked and sat. 8 years old, so those are the things that are possible. Well, how do you speak about it? Because it's a passage I'll one day read to you. Rabbi Yerucham was also a Talmud of Rabbi Yerucham, where Rabbi Yerucham describes what he experienced on the day that Rabbi Yerucham died, what he went through. From the time of his death to the time of his funeral, Rabbi Yerucham describes it.
How old was
he at the time? Who? Rabbi Yerucham. Rabbi Yerucham at the time, I suppose, was a man in his early 20s. But he went through, see, now look here. And yet, you know, I don't want to give the impression that today we've got nothing. That's not true. That's not true. It's a tremendous amount of learning going on today, all that, and still. And we will have great people again, have them again. But they will be great in another way. They will be great in the way that these people are. This seems to be an absolute breakthrough. Great in another way. But the thing is to remember the presence of these people. All of them. I know of their greatness when I understand a rishon through them. Through them I can understand a rishon. Then I see what their greatness was. When I think I understand a rishon, I'm certain I understand it. And then they come and they take a rishon, one sentence they take it to pieces. See what the greatness is. And that is something that we have got. There's only one other thing that I want to convey to you tonight. It's something that I've been working on for at least 30 years. And it's only now that there's some kind of a breakthrough. It says in the Torah, "Behoyu ha'devorim o'eire asher uvilchi b'tzavach ha'yom al'vorecha." These words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart. What does it mean upon your heart? Upon your heart. It says in the Torah, "Be'yodato ha'yeru v'ha'sheivu so el'vorecha." And you shall know this day, for her table saw, and you shall put it up, carry it in, put it into your heart. What is this? What is this? We say that the loaf is the seat of the feelings. What do we mean that the heart is the seat of the feelings? Are you bothered?
I'm
saying
it's what?
Any problem?
I thought Larry was into one.
No, it's not. No, the Moloch is the intellect. Larry is the intellect. What is it? And when one feels about feeling, it's something you've got to be very careful about. Emotions and all sorts of things. Just want to explain something. let us say, I know this much. What helps me to know this much? First of all, that I can see it. I can give it. I can feel it. I know quite a lot about it.
So you certainly don't get any emotional feeling.
Yeah. I know quite a lot about it. I know quite a lot about some things. I employ the sense of taste also. If I've got a loaf of sugar, I know what a loaf of sugar is. Taste comes into it. I've got a flour, smell comes into it. I use my five senses. That's all right when it is with something concrete like that. But when there is a commandment in the Torah that is given, and I'm told, Vahashay Boso Elabobeho, you must know it, and Vahashay Boso, and bring it right into your heart. So what is that? I want to explain it to you like this, and I'm only touching it, now I have reason to speak about it again. In the same way as we've got these five senses that help us to understand things, there is a chush hashishi, there is a sixth sense. And that sixth sense is to feel it, but to feel it in such a way that there is no doubt at all. Now this isn't an emotion, because emotions are something that one has to be very, very careful of. I don't believe in this leap of faith. I believe it's emotional. And if it's emotional, it's unstable. Don't believe that people today have such a thing as a leap of faith. If a person has got a leap of faith, it's something unstable about it. What it is if I understand something very, very well. I understand. But in the same way I know about this watch, or I know about a lump of sugar, or I know about the flower, by employing my five senses. So I know about it, and I understand it, and that helps me to understand it. So that gives it its reality. Because if I can't see, and I can't hear, and I can't smell, and I can't taste, and I can't feel, and I can't touch, and somebody will explain something to me, I won't know what it is. I can never know what it is. It's only when I see it, oh, so that's what it is. That's what it is. Somebody explains to me what a skyscraper. And I think the highest building that I've seen is a double-story building, ground floor and one floor. Somebody explains to me 100 stories high. See it. Quite a different thing. Now I know what it is. There are things that it becomes absolutely clear to you. But it becomes clear to you by your feeling. And in the sense that this is a sense you've got outside your intellect. Outside your intellect. You've just got the sense of it. And there's no doubt that it is right. Just no doubt it is right. But it's the sense of it that you've got. It's a sense. Am I making myself a little bit clear? But I don't want you to be confused at all with emotions. I find it so difficult to explain. It's not emotions. I'm very, very wary of emotions. There is straight thinking and there is crooked thinking. And there is correct feeling and there is wrong feeling. And you know how easy it is for there to be crooked thinking. Even easier for there to be crooked feeling. Wrong feeling. This is something quite different. This is in the same way as you've got the five senses, you've got another sense, and this is out of place right. The whole school of Rousseau, but starting from the earliest times, from the time already of the Rishoni, Rabbeinu Yehuda, the whole school of that I could never understand this problem. It's only now that I'm beginning to understand it. His Onurus plays a very, very great part. His Onurus. It already, it already, kun only. And that is the stirring of the heart. The stirring of the heart. Where you, the heart, this is another sense that comes into it. Another sense. The old Kirchhoff used to say, you go into a hall, and it seems a tremendously long hall, and then you realize what it is, there's a mirror in the middle. That if you didn't have the sense of touch, you wouldn't know that that's a mirror there. It's only because you've got the sense of touch that you know it's a mirror. Another thing we used to say is, we used to do it as children, if you put your fingers like this and you take some bread, a bit of bread, and you rub it into a piece of dough, and then you do this with your finger. Have you ever done it? After a while, you are certain that you've got two pieces there. Have you ever tried that? You're certain that you've got two pieces. You feel two pieces. How do you know it's not two pieces? Because you've got your sense of sight. So your sense of sight tells you what you've really got there. Then you've got your sense of feeling, tell you what you do with it. And so you've got this, you've got another sense. And it's a question, is Onurus is the awakening of this sixth sense. Awakening of the sixth sense. Somebody somewhere has got a tape of my uncle learning Musa. If I could only get that tape.
I believe there are tapes in your uncle learning.
Same thing. Same thing, they've got the tapes. But to hear him say Musa, to hear him learn Musa for himself. Just for himself. How he used to learn Musa for himself.
It's not the microphone.
And this, it's, and he used to speak to me about these owners, and this is, I could never understand this, only now that I'm beginning to understand. And that is what he was able to do. To awaken within himself that he understood it, not only with his intellect, but he had another sense in the same way as we got these senses of it. So in another sense he had it, that he absolutely felt that there was just no doubt in his mind about it at all. So we'll have it. I'd like to show you a piece from a Rishon that Reb Simcha Zissel takes, and that gave me the idea of this. Somebody's up in my And the basic says, well, that is the way. So what else do you want? We won't go against the way. And it's the way, but it makes sense. It's the terrible way. Having a hidden door from door to door. What does she leave herself open to?
Okay, then that's what I'm asking is, what do we learn new in the second case?
We learn the question of basis. That a woman has got this whole question of the day. What is the way?
The way we provide for the Allah before the Islam.
Yes, but the day is used for reason, is because basis is saying. The other reason is because Darko Lazar Allah Patrocki, the Ain Darko in Isho Darko Lazar. You follow?
That's not the way.
It's just not done. Now, what would be the position if we were living in one of these cock-eyed societies where women go from door to door, but a man doesn't go from door to door? That we wouldn't take. That you wouldn't say, because it's the way, then we don't say that, because that's wrong. That we can understand that that's wrong. Mm-hmm. A woman mustn't go from door to door, a man can go from door to door. That is the way we work it. In the case, it's more vicious for a woman not to be married than for a man not to be married. You follow? If I don't know whether a woman is Miss or Mrs., and I speak to her over the phone, how do you think I address her, as Miss or as Mrs.? I refuse to address her as Mrs. I address her as Mrs. Mm-hmm. And then she says, I address her as Miss. Mm-hmm. And then she says, I am Mrs. But if I address her as Mrs., and she's got to tell me she's Miss, that hurts her. But if I say Miss, and she says, I'm Mrs., fine. That's all right, that's all right. But if I say Mrs. and she's going to tell me Miss, that hurts her. You follow? Because Michael, are you catching up?
I think maybe what Charles is asking is that if, could we say in the second part that the way is that a woman gets married before a man? That it was in the first part, is the cause, and the way is that a man goes.
No, it's very simple. A man, if he doesn't get married, why isn't he married?
He's sitting his choice.
Are we wrong?
Because it's his choice.
If a woman doesn't get married, she says, nobody's asked me yet. Or nobody suitable has asked. We wear the basis more. We want to get a girl off. I think I told you that my father came from a place called Grajeva, and he told me the story of how there was a person who was despised in Grajeva. Did I tell you the story? A very wealthy man was despised. And when this man died, the wrong of the town took his walking stick. My father's carved with a silver top. He had his walking stick, which was a big thing in those places. And he went to the funeral. After he went to the funeral, people couldn't understand that he was the wrong, didn't go to a funeral. Now, I understand very well why he didn't go to a funeral. You'll soon hear. He didn't get it, but he went after the year, and then the people came to ask him. They said, you know, we can't understand that you can't. So he said to them, in this city that I've got, have you got any girls of marriageable age that aren't married yet? So they thought it was too young. They said, no, all men. He said, the villages round about, the towns round about, you know your friends there. Are there any girls of marriageable age that aren't married yet? Yes. He said, yeah, this man is the one who sought it. girl of marriageable age. He, from him, I got all the money I needed to get her a hospital. To marry the girl, to have a living. I subsequently worked out many years later that the rabbi of that town must have been the father of a Rav Kook. And a Rav Kook was a Kohen. He followed as a Kohen. They didn't go, but there he went. He went behind. And that, but he went.
Why didn't he go at the time of the funeral itself?
He went, but he goes behind. He doesn't go in, he's a Kohen. So he didn't go immediately behind, he went behind, stood behind. Yes, so he started away, and I suppose he went at the cemetery, but he went only as far as the gate, and he stood there. And he stood there and he waited, but he went through the road. That's why it made such an impression in the town. My father didn't tell me he was a Kohen. Probably he forgot him. But then afterwards I worked out that the father of a Rav Kook was the wrong thing. I'm just telling you that for a girl, this is the big thing. And in the Din, we haven't got a Shulchan Aruch here. But in Hilchas Doka, in the Din, it gives the priorities. There's one sikh in the Shulchan Aruch, the me knows me tzedoko, to whom does one give tzedoko, who me kodem, and what are the priorities? And the Gemara goes, the Din goes through all the priorities. Very, very high up is the Yesomo to marry off the Yesomo. Very, very high up. It's a very important thing. It's her precious, it's time her life, and it's all that. And this is one thing that we will still you certainly will still see, to live to see the whole change in life, where today the woman wants to have a career, wants to be her own, wants to be independent, and the idea that she doesn't get married, you will still live to see this whole change where woman would go back, she wants to get married. Because we're already getting the aftermath of that, where we are getting the loneliness of these women. They've got nobody, and they're all on their own now, and what it all means.
Tragedy of our generation.
Well, one of the tragedies. So, I'm sorry, yes, Michael.
Would there be the same priorities on
not the same, not to the same extent. Not to the same extent.
And why not?
It's better to be an almono. You know the word. Than to be an old maid. She feels differently about it.
Simply because the experience of having
been she's heard, she says somebody's wanted her, she's been together, she's got a wider family, she's got his family also already involved. Much better. I think I told you, would you mind if I take off my jacket? I think I told you I'll leave that for our case to do. We're doing some adulter. In the second part of the Shia, I'm going to tell you about our guidance and Midrash and how they link up, and I'll then explain them with you. I think that they will just remember about this, the idea of marriage. I must tell you that I received from another state a call from a woman. I've never heard of her, never seen her, she's just heard of her. She took a chance. She tells me about a young girl, a brilliant young Jewish girl. She says, this girl is a most beautiful girl. And Orthodox girl. And gave me her age. She should have been married a couple of years ago already, at least. And she can't get, this woman's heartbroken that this girl isn't getting fixed up. Just not getting fixed up. Well, there's another tragedy, men and women live together without getting married. And the man is better off than the woman. Why should he get married? Why should he get married? He's got everything he wants without the encumbrances and responsibilities, so why should he get married? So the women are getting the raw deal here. And it comes to town and the man feels, well, I don't want to get married for that part. And he leaves it. You follow? That is something that is happening. This is a...
That happened with her?
No, he didn't. No. Because she was very
careful. That's why she's not getting married.
I was just saying, look here, there are not enough men. Also, there are not enough men. What do you want to get married? There are fewer men available.
I take it you gave her Charles this phone. Sorry.
Yeah. Let us go over it again, but this time, no translation, just the words, yes?
I'm sorry to make you go over, so you've done my
work. That's all right.
What is his home, please?
Orphan.
An orphan, oh.
And you say more is the female counterpart of it. You say this is orphan. Got it? Well, just let us read it now. Tonu Rabbanon. Did I say too quickly for you?
No.
Mipnei shehoish darko lazor ala sochim ve'en isho darko lazor. Thirsty. So that is, you've got a yosem and a yosem more. You can be mefarnes only the one and not the other. You are mefarnes the yosem more and not the yosem. Now, the next case, yosem, the yosem more. Shebohu li yosem, may see in es ha yosem more. The other God may see you as I will sow. First of all, you marry off to you. Or shall you show, may Rubor shall be. The boshes of an Esho is more than the boshes of an Ech. Of an Esho is more than the boshes of an Ech. Boshes. The same. The chase. Sol ish or mushel ish?
Michel ish.
You're right. Yeah. It's that of, you follow, is greater than that of a man.
From that.
Yes.
I'm sorry, it's approached.
Yosem is an orphan. Yosem is the female counterpart. You tell me yourself more. Follow? Yes. Is to give sustenance. Is parnoso is sustenance. Le parnais is to give sustenance.
Same
root. Parnoso, le parnais. The same. In fact, in the proper Sephardic congregations, they call the gada the Parnas. You know that word.
It's quite a novel.
You know that the Parnas they called him in the Sephardic congregations. In Holland, when you've got in Amsterdam, you've got the old Portuguese congregation. They are called the Parnasi. The Parnasi, because they were the ones who gave the Parnosa to the poor. So they were called the Parnas. That gave the prognosis to the poor.
But also like the opposite,
Yes, they were, but why were they called Parnas?
Because
they used to give out, it was under their care, used to give out the sustenance. Alright, now this is going further. Tonu Rabbonon. So now, the important thing here is,
that there we've got a halacha, you see. The halacha is based on that paraisa, that if there is a yosem and yosomo, and you can't, there's not enough money for both, then go give the yosomo. There's a yosem and a yosomo, there's not enough money to marry them off both, then you marry off the yosomo. But we see that there's also an obligation. If a yosem comes to marry off a yosem, there's also an obligation to see that he gets married. And even if he's not a yosem, he's got parents, and it's a young Jewish man, it's a mitzvah to see that he gets married. That is a mitzvah. If anybody can help him to get married, that is a mitzvah. Right, now let us go further. Tonu Rabbonon. And as I say, you look up, I told you how you look up the din in these matters. Can you see a little vault there? Tonu Rabbonon, you see a little vault?
Yeah.
You look up in the Ein Mishpot Neir Mitzvah, you look up the little vault. Can you see the little vault there? That is the din, but this is straightforward. You see, it's easy to pass.
What is the difference between the Tzayin, I take it, is the number of...
Yes, it's just he numbers, each one of his references, he numbers.
To each of the... You know, it's a repair.
Yes, he did. Because some person.
It's just one of the page.
You were? Yes, on the pages, this one is of the Perek. This one is of the Perek, the references of the Perek. Right.
So we got them?
You know, once we've started, let us go on a little bit further. Tonu Rabbonon. Now, that is as far as the halacha is concerned. The next one is also important as far as the halacha is concerned. The next braisa is important as far as the halacha is concerned. The din. Tonu Rabbonon. See the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. Again, let's say it all together. Tonu Rabbonon. Yosom shebo lisor, as Yosom that comes to marry. Sochrim, all together please. Sochrim lo baris, one hires for him a house, you don't have to buy it. Umatsim lo yor, and one prepares for him a bed. The whole clay touch region, and all objects touch Misho of his usage, which means that all that he's got necessary, he has to have a table, he's got to have a couple of chairs, he's got to have a bit of crockery, some pots, some forks, some knives, that everything is supplied to him.
What is that word?
Which word?
Tashmish.
Tashmish is the use. Tashmish is use. What is the tashmish of this? Oh, this is to put in your nose to see. What is the tashmish? What is the tashmish of this kli? What is a kli? What is the tashmish of this piece? What is the use of it? For what purpose is it? For what is it used? That is the word tashmish. A very useful word to that. The word shamash. Have you ever heard the word of a shamash in a shul?
Yeah.
The word shamash comes from that. He is mashamash. He puts himself to the use of the shul. Mm-hmm. Same word as that. So the tach misha. Got it? The achar kach. Masi in lo isha shene emar. They must so know I share low. This is the important thing to know. Now, when it comes to Tzedoko, let me just before, if you could just sit back a little bit, but I want to give you some idea of how the tzedaka works. In Torah, by now you will have noticed
that if you go into an area of Torah, you find that that area is a world on its own. Now, in the area of Torah, of Tzedakah, one of the things we realize very early is that in Tzedakah there is a principle that the money that the rich man gives is really the property of the poor. Where that becomes very obvious is in Leket Shikhotayo, where the edges of the field have got to be left over for the poor.
What's that one?
Leket Shikho. Shikho comes from forgetting. What Shikho means is that if one goes, they are reaping in the fields, and they put the corn up, the wheat, the grain, they put it up, so that afterwards they come and collect it. And when they go to collect them, they forgot one lot there. Then that, once they forget, then you can't take them. You've got to leave. You understand? That's the only mitzvah for which you mustn't have any kavanah. Once you've got kavanah, it's no good, you see. Once you've forgotten, it becomes the property of the poor. So
again,
that's the one. Aren't you allowed to do some because you know that? I mean, there were people in Ruth.
Yes, but then it's not Shikho, it's Doko. Shikho is that it actually belongs to the poor person. So what you are giving is you are giving to Doko. It doesn't belong to the poor person. But the story in Ruth is they go, the whole point about Ruth is, why didn't Ruth and Naomi, or Naomi and Ruth, when I went to Bethlehem, and Naomi says, don't come with me, I went away rich and I'm coming back poor. And Ruth comes back and she says, I will go out. It's not nice, you're an older woman. It's not nice for you to go. I will go out and I will collect. And she goes and collects in the field of Boaz. You think she didn't know about Boaz? You think she didn't know that she had a kinsman? They said, why didn't she go and speak to Boaz in the first place?
So not to shame herself?
She wasn't prepared to take charity. She wasn't going to take charity.
So she was going to get what was rightfully hers.
That's hers. She goes to get Shikho Leket, she goes, that's hers. She wasn't. So Boaz tells these reapers, he tells them, look here, just see that the reapers whom she follows, that they drop a little bit more. It means anything that drops more, see that they drop a little bit more. But she didn't know that. That is the way he worked it. Why didn't he just give her? That he can't. That he can't do that. Tzedakah. That he could, that's kinetic. She wouldn't take tzedakah. That is her own. Afterwards, at the end, he sends a present to the mother-in-law, sends some, a little bit of barley to the mother-in-law. A present is a different thing. She's got what she needs, that Ruth brought her. She's got what she needs. A little bit more. But she can bake a cake. That is a matona. Matona isn't tzedakah.
Well, just to get the terms right, when he asked his reapers to drop some extra, it was tzedakah, but she didn't see it that way.
That's right. It was. Yes, it was. It was. It doesn't understand that she didn't feel that.
I'm a little bit confused, though, between tzedakah and a gift.
For example, if I give Rockefeller a gift, it's not tzedakah. It's not meant for tzedakah. So it can
but
be.
But if you give a gift to someone who's poor.
Yes, I'm going to do that. So, it's not Rockefeller. Person hasn't got as much. I can't give him a gift. Must it only be Rockefeller to him? I give a gift. I can give a gift. So why do I give Rockefeller a gift if he doesn't need it? Why do I give him a gift?
What?
Are we pardoned?
You like.
Got a business gift.
that Rabbi Yakovitz told me once that he was there was one of the British lords, very, very wealthy man, was having a 70th birthday party, something like that. And of course, the Jacobinists was invited. And you know, which, what you give a person like that for a present? Well, Rabbi Jacobinists told me that this man was very insistent that he gets a present of the Jacobinists. Chief Rabbi gives him a present, of course, but he was very insistent about it. He did it very nicely, but and they had every intention of giving him some years, a man that helped them a lot, did them a lot of favors, did them a lot of favors. It was a gift, but he made it quite clear to see him. Now, I give a person a present, it's an expression of an attachment. Now, this is a rule. If A gives B a gift, A is becomes more attached to B because of the gifting, because of the giving of the gift, than B becomes to A because of the receiving of the gift. Did you know that? It's Aristotle.
I read it from my rabbi.
That is Aristotle. But the interesting thing is that the Shimcha Gisel quotes Aristotle, and he says that is right, that is a Torah. He says that is right. He says everything is Aristotle, couldn't understand what the whole workings of it, and he speaks about the workings of it, you see. But that is a present. I want to be closer to the person. I become closer to a person. Giving you become closer. That is what he wants. A man can become, want to become closer. That's the idea of giving a matona. So, Boaz gives a matona to Naomi. But that isn't tzedakah. She's got her money already. But if you give a matona to a poor man, the deen also makes provision for that. The deen says, if a man, he doesn't want to accept tzedakah, tell him it's a matona. Can perhaps help him. If he won't accept it as a matona, give it to him as a loan. But there are ways in which you can do it. You understand? So that is a yes.
The one thing is probably a distinction, but it's hard to see. Why is it less of a boshes for shikha than it would be for tzedakah?
The leket shikho payo, because the leket shikho payo belongs to the poor man. It is.
But the point is, the identification is that if you're going to take it, it means you're a poor person.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. Being a poor, there's nothing disgraceful in being poor. What the boshes is that I've got to go out and take it. That I've got to take from the rich man. The taking. Being poor is nothing. But that it's humiliating that I've got to take. That's where the boshes is. There's no disgrace in being poor, but that I've got to take.
It's not even any apparent generosity on the part of the giver. It's fell, and it comes.
My uncle was very old. He was ill once, and he had a heart attack. And I came to see him, and he wanted me to sit and speak to him. I speak to him, so he said to me, wanted to know about the Ponavisha Rob when he comes to South Africa. So how does he collect money? So for a moment I didn't think. I said he goes, you know, goes to see this businessman, he goes to see this businessman. Goes to see a businessman. He said, don't they come to him? Don't they come to him? I said, you know, those days it just doesn't work like that anymore. You've got to go. He was so upset. That the Ponavija robbers got to go, they don't come to him. He knows what it meant. For the Ponavija robbers to have to go to a businessman, what did he knew? And it hurt him. It's a boshes.
He's not doing it for subconscious. Go and ask, what can you do? You've got to do it. Of course you do it. Didn't I ever tell you the story of that Rabbi Abramsky told me? Aaron Kotler was in 10 different ways, he was a most exceptional person. Aaron Kotler ran Chinuch Atzmoy. Chinuch Atzmoy is independent Chinuch, independent of the government. It was most important because the government indoctrinated the children.
What is Chinuch?
Chinuch education. So the government indoctrinated the children. So it was most important to have schools that were independent of the government. How would they support it? So if Aaron Kotler made himself responsible for it, if Aaron Kotler sat in Lakewood and in New York and he had phones going all over the world and he used to get. One day Rabbi Abramsky tells me, he said, I've got a telegram from Rabbi Kotler. He says, it came on Shabbos. But so on Shabbos, I open the telegram and he says, I need £3,000 immediately. £3,000 was in those days was about $12,000-$15,000 before the war. Was a tremendous sum of money, $15,000. And he said, I've got to have it immediately. It's the whole of the Chinuch Atzmoy is at stake. So Rabbi Abramsky understood it. Aaron Kotler sent him that telegram. He sent it to a few others and he's dependent on it. So Rabbi Abramsky tells me, I decided to go and try and collect money from several people. No good. I decided I would go to one balabos and only one balabos. Rabbi Abramsky described to me, take his stick, so he shoves. Goes down these stairs, I know his house very well in London, goes down the stairs, goes and takes a bus, changes another bus, takes from there, takes another, so changes another bus, and then stays. Gets off the bus, walks along the street, street light on, still gas in that part of London. Comes to this man's house, goes up the steps, knocks at the door. And goes, oh, if I found you in, such a cover, please come in, sit down, Rabbi Abramsky knows that he hasn't got much time. And of the usual pleasantries, exchange of pleasantries, he says, you know, I got this telegram from the Baron Kotler for Chinuch Atzmoy. He said, I decided I was going to come to you and I would give you the whole schus of maybe giving this money. So I can't go to many people to give you the whole schus of giving this money, 3,000. Now, it wasn't such a great cover to have Rabbi Abramsky anymore. He said to him, Rabbi Abramsky, you want to give me this schus, that this is my contribution to Torah. This is my contribution. He said, Rabbi Abramsky, what is your contribution?
Which way the character is going, listen? This is the businessman, says Rabbi Abramsky.
What is your contribution? Rabbi Abramsky tells me. And he could say it with all the takifus, with all the assertiveness. He said, my contribution is blood. I give my blood. See, do you know what it means? And he goes through the whole procedure. I open this telegram and I decide I'm coming to you. And I take my walking stick and I put on my hat and I go down the stairs and to the bus. He says, you know how much blood each step costs me? And when I come to your door and I stand in front of your door
and I pick up courage to knock at the door. You know the blood that goes into that? Blood is my contribution. I'm asking you for money. He went in there to have to check for 2,000. 2,000 pounds. But you know what he went through? The Boches. That blood, the Boches. A businessman. And this is already, in those days, they still had very nice Balabatikun now. He's got to go and he's got to go and ask him. So that's Boches. That is Boches. Well, of course, it's a shame. He's got to please and that and feel and be nice to him. And he knows also that he'll have to pay for it. Because this man is going to ask him to do him a favor one day. He's going to have people over his house and he wants some personality there. And then he won't be able to say no. He knows that. That's all bogus. That's all bogus. Now, there is in the Torah it says, you mustn't harden your heart to a poor man, and you shall give him day machsoro. The word day or die is sufficient. Machsoro is choseir, is lacking. Sufficient for that which he lacks. That is the way the Torah gives it. If it is that you must give a poor man sufficient for that which he lacks, can you imagine what he's got to give him? Sufficient for that which he lacks. So if he's a person that is accustomed to have meat every day or chicken every day, and he's poor now, he can't afford, but he's always had it, so that's lacking in him. If I don't have chicken every day, I don't lack anything. I've never been so wealthy that I can have meat every day. Because I don't lack it. But he was a wealthy man, he had chicken every day. So he's got chicken every day, the deen is that he needs it. That's what's lacking to him. You've got to give it. So the deen works out. It doesn't mean that each person has got to be responsible for that. But as a community, and if the community can't afford it, then to the best of its ability. That is what it is. Day machsoro. We'll soon see the example of what is day machsoro. But that is what you've got to give it. Now, that is a poor person. He's already 18 years of age. He's already 19 years of age. He's already 20 years of age. He's 22 already. He's got to get married. So what is his machsoro? What is it he's lacking? He's lacking a wife. That's what it says. We've got an obligation to give him a wife. But he can't have a wife unless he's got a dira. You know what a dira is? A home. So you've got to rent for him a house, a home, an apartment, a flat, a room. We've got to rent for him. Because that is lacking. But the home needs furniture. Got to furnish it. That's what his machsel is, his kosei of that. He's lacking that. So we've got to give him what he's lacking. That is the basis of tzedakah. To give a man that what he's lacking. Is that clear? Now I want to explain to you something else. That in the deen, you see, what I'm doing to you here is from all different parts in the Gemara, all this is discussed in different places. In the deen, all these things come together. There are different degrees of poor men, different categories of poor men. That is, ha'oni ha'chozer alatsochim, the poor man that goes from door to door. Then there is ha'oni ha'holet mimokim lemokim, the poor man that goes from place to place. He doesn't go from where he goes from one town, then he comes to another town, he goes there collecting the other town, then he goes to the other town, goes collecting the other town. Now, the Heoni, the
the type of Oni to whom we have got the greatest responsibility is the Oni who is not a Chazer Al Psochi. He doesn't tell, he can't do it. He sees a shame. We've got the greatest responsibility to him. The responsibility to the Oni HaChazer Al Psochi that goes from door to door is greater than the responsibility we've got to the Oni that goes from mokum le mokum, that goes from place to place. You understand? Those are the greater ones. Now we are speaking about a town. Here is it's a young man, and his parents haven't got, and he hasn't got. What does he need? He needs a wife. But the town senses it, the town sees it, the town realizes it, the town acknowledges it, and now the town wants to provide him with a wife. But in order to have a wife, he's got to have a house. In order to have a home, he's got to have a... You give him all that. That is his need. If it is his need, we must give it to him. You follow how it works? That is the way we understand it. If we aren't able to do it, then the Ardinim, which are the priorities which come first in the Ardinim, how we help him and all that sort of thing. In Israel, now, I think it's still going on in Israel. When I was there last in Israel, this was a very big thing that was going on. And the Gaura Rebbe is the one that was in the forefront of this. A young man wanted to get married. He wants to live only in Jerusalem. Wants to live only in Jerusalem. Now, to live only in Jerusalem is the same as saying in California, I want to live only in Bel Air. The only thing is, Bel Air is for Gashmias and Yerushalayim is for Ruchnias. He says, I want to live only in Yerushalayim. Of course he wants to live only in Jerusalem. I also want to live only in Jerusalem. Who doesn't want to live it? And they help him get a home in Jerusalem. The Gera Rebbe came along and he said, no, finished. If it's his giving him a home, it's not in Jerusalem. That the Din doesn't require. It's not that he's got to have, he needs a home he's got to have, but not, it doesn't say in Jerusalem. Give it to him outside Jerusalem. Nobody's got to give it to him. And I'm stopping my Hasidim from giving him a home in Yerushalayim. It's too expensive. He said, what has happened is that they've put up the prices in Yerushalayim to become impossible. He wants a home outside of Yerushalayim, not in Yerushalayim. Then they started, they wear funny hats, the Kavastim, have you ever seen them? Yes. And they started putting up the Shtam, like the people who made the Shtam, like putting it up, and you know, you've got to have a Shtam. No more Steinbach. And that's the maximum price. You can't get it for that price. No more Steinbach, and I'll be the first one who will take off my Steinbach. Did those prices come tumbling down? Those prices came tumbling. Got the Steinbach now. And he stopped it like that, you follow? So, but I want you to say, that's Deimach Solo, but it's got to be Deimach Solo. This is what he's lacking to him. We'll soon see it.
Remember, he also did that with the X-Fighter, the same only once for the whole community.
I didn't hear about that, but that sounds like it. He could do it. I mean, well, he could do a thing like that. Yes. He could do a thing like that. The Gaira Rebbe could do a thing like that. He started, the Gaira crowd don't have nonsense, you see. Don't forget the Gaira crowd is from the Sfasemis and from the Chidush HaRim. You've got people here, I mean, these people and people that the Chidush HaRim didn't want to be a Gaira Rebbe. He said, my Rebbe is Avraham Avinu, what do you want of me? He didn't want it. They said, well, if we won't have you, we're going to have Rabbi Schindler, Rabbi Silver, but we've got to have somebody. He said, well, that's a different thing. Could I be? Then I said, no, they haven't got to be there. That's how they got him. Otherwise, they couldn't have got him at all. We've got
the name of that man he went by.
Spasemus. Yes.
What if he's raised in Jerusalem?
That's another thing. But he will still, but one has to go into it. But he still lives in the place.
Sufficient for that which he lacks, in which he lacks. You see, this is a noun. Sufficient for his lacking, that which he lacks for him. Can you see that these words are redundant? Asher yechsalo. If it would have said, you've got to give him daimachsalo, sufficient for his lacking, which he lacks to him. Can you see that?
Yeah.
So the way the Gemara takes it is, daimachsalo, this is a bias. That is a hope. Asher yechsal, that is a retool. And that one goes with the beetle and play touch Misha. Lo is Isho. That's, can you see? Deimach Soro, you've got to give him that which he's lacking. Now, why do we take it into your house? If he is lacking food, we don't have to say Deimach Soro. He's lacking food. Everybody will give you food. He goes from house from place to place and he gets food. What is not so clear is that he's got to have a place to live, he's got to have a home. So now that which he lacks, food he will always be able to get. Everybody will give him food. So there are things a little bit from self that they give to the poor man. But if he hasn't got a home where to be, so that which he's lacking, the most fundamental thing, is a roof over his head. That's the bias. Asher yechsal, there's still something that he's lacking. Without looking at the Gemara and without looking any further, what would you say it is?
Furniture.
That is the mitzvah. Now, lo isho. From why do we say lo is isho? Now, see what the Gemara says on that. See what the Gemara says on that. Says the Gemara, V'cheinu omer e'eser lo eider kenegde. Hashem says, e'eser lo, I will make for him. E'eser lo, eider Kenegde, right? I will make for him. So the Gemara takes this word lo and says, yeah, you've got this, I will make for him. And here it says, sufficient for his lacking, which lacks to him. Him and to him. For him and for him. That must be, this is, what's it going to do with that? This is in Bereishis, this is in Devarim. What have the two words got to do with that? Yet the Gemara says, this is the lo. This is the lo. It says, the words in the Torah are, and you shall give to him, to the poor man, day machsoro asher yechsal lo. Sufficient for his lacking. Which he is lacking for him. Now, we accept that Asher Yechsalo is redundant. It should have said, you shall give him Deimachsalo, that which he is lacking. So obviously this is coming to teach us something. So the Gemara says, the Torah Parasha Balfeh explains to us, Deimachsalo, that is a vice. He's lacking a whom? Asher yechsal, that is a bed, a mitor. Lo is an isho. That is what is back. So, I can work out the first two I can work out. It's the third one that I can't work out. The first two I can work out, I say, give him the sufficiency for what he is lacking. We go to the fundamental one. What is the word you used? You used when I was explaining this? in Darkes Yom Ish in Lagdar Al-Apsochim, and why it doesn't say Benches, why it doesn't... You remember you asked me at the beginning of the...
Fundamentals?
Yes, fundamentals, that's the word you use. So we go to the fundamentals. But that which is lacking, it can't be food and it can't be clothing. Because then you get, you don't have to go, you don't have to make special provision for that. Food and clothing you will always get. When it is that which is lacking, which normally one doesn't give a poor man a hope. That's fundamental. I say, yes, sir, but there's still something lacking. Just a home, he's got to have a bed to sleep in, he's got to have a table, he's got to have a chair. That's the mito and kleitas misha. Then it says, what is lacking, lay for him a wife. You've got to give him a wife. That is, from where do I get lo means a wife? Says the Gemara, in case you've got a doubt that lo means a wife, I'll bring you the proof. It says, A-S-L, lo either connector. Hashem says, I will make for him, for man, a helpmate as a counterpart. So there it says, speaking, lo speaking about a wife. So Yannick must also be speaking about a wife. Why should it be?
Well, the lo is also redundant, because the first part says de mitzvah, so it says the end, the last vav in the mitzvah means for him.
Of course, and that is redundant.
Yes.
That I accept. Yes. Why should that lo mean an issue?
Well, obviously someone themselves that this lo and that lo are the same lo.
But why? Is it because it's the same word?
Well,
that is one of the ways of...
Yeah.
Well, but it's got to be seichel. It's not mysticism.
Is the word...
It's got to be seichel.
Is the word lo unusual in that context?
Well, I think it's... No, yeah, it's not unusual. ASLO is a connector.
Well...
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing. It's a very interesting thing, this. How is the... All the animals were created, when Hashem created the vegetation, and he created the fish, and he created the birds, and he created the animals. One problem we have solved already, and that is that he didn't first create the egg and then the chicken, but he first created the chicken and the chicken made the egg. That's the way it is. Did Hashem create only one chicken, who laid only one egg, and from that one egg there came other, who laid, a chicken who laid several eggs, and from those eggs came all the other chickens?
No.
He created many chickens.
Yes.
When Hashem created the grass, he didn't create one blade of grass from which came all the other blades. He covered the earth with grass. He covered the earth with trees. He covered the earth with animals. But when he creates man, he creates only one man. Got the idea? Only one man. He doesn't create men. Not only does he create only one man, he doesn't even create two people, a male and a female. How did he create them?
Male and female.
Male and female in the one person.
One.
And then afterwards Hashem separated them. Now, what's all this about? If you say that's the way the creation was, only one thing was created first. We know it's not like that. Hashem created many. So he could have created many men and women. To create only, even if he would have created only one man and one woman, it would also be an akasha. You know what akasha is? It would, a question. It would also be an akasha. If he created only one. Not only didn't he create many men and women, and he created only one man and woman, but he created one man and woman in one. Now just look what it is. Let us assume that Hashem would have created, for a start, 1,000 men and 1,000 women. For a start. How would they have paired themselves off? One man would have taken one woman. Is that right? Which woman of the 1,000 would he have taken? Wait, pardon? At the beginning, they were all the same.
Anyone.
Number two, who would you have taken? Anyone of 999. Number three would have taken anyone of 997. That's exactly what the Rebbe Sholem didn't want. There's no such thing as anyone. For animals, yes. For human beings, there's no such thing as anyone. There is only the one. They are absolutely together. That's it. There is only the one. That is what it is. It has to be that. He separates them afterwards. Fine. But you must know what it is. It's only the one. That is. ESL, Lo Ezer Connector. The whole emphasis is on that Lo there. I will make for him an Ezer Connector. It will be only for him. For anybody else, he's not. It's only for him. He says, Deimach Sero, Acher Yersa, Lo. It's only for him that it is lacking. What is it that can be lacking? Only for him. That's the issue. That's the idea of the issue. Have you got it? You see how it works. That is the way how the Gemara works it out from there.
The beverage of that I'll do with you afterwards. Please excuse me for doing this. I've just got a shocking error. That is what Ezer is a connector. Now let us repeat that without any translation, just getting the words.
Is there any reason why Zer Habayit instead of Zer Bayit to Zen Ha Zer Habayit?
There is a reason, but I didn't want to tell you the reason.
What's the question?
Why does it say Habayit? Must I tell you the answer to that? Rabbi Yosef in the Gemara, we've got the Gemara Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef says, May Olam Lo Kor Rosi Le Ishti Ishti Ule Shori Shori. Never have I called my wife, and never have I called my ox. But I always referred to my wife as Beisi, my home. And I've always referred to my ox as Sodi. My field. Because he uses the ox to plow the field. He says, the basis of his field is his ox. So he called his ox my Sodi. His whole home depends on his wife. He called his wife Beisi, my home. This is my home. Do you understand?
Yes.
It's not the correct thing for a man, when he writes to his friend, to say, give my regards to your wife. But altogether right. So, the way we do it, say, Drishas Sholom Leveso. Regards to his home. And he knows what that means. Mm-hmm. He tells his wife, got regards to Leveso. When it says here, Zeh Habayis. That's what it's referring to. The whole idea of the home. In general terms, that it's referring to.
But how long if you can't work it like that? You work from fundamentals and you work up by Mito, Shuhon, Kletash, Micho, Micho. That is it. Now let us go on from there. Tonu Rabono. Now we come to another Braisa. Now I want you to know that that is the deed. Can you see that little olive on the third line in the Tonu Rabono Yosem Shebonicho? You've got that little olive there. That is the deed. That's the way we pasken. In the Shulchan Aruch, we pasken like that. That's the way we pasken.